Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna put the world away for a minute. Pretend I don't live in it. Sunshine gonna wash my blues away. Had sweet love, but I lost it. She got too close so far, and now I'm lost in the world trying to find me a better way. Wishing I was deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky free, and it don't seem fair. I'm worrying the world is a tide gonna reach my chair. Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. Wrote a note, said be back in a minute. Bought a boat and I sailed off in it. Don't think anybody's gonna miss me anyway. Mind on a permanent vacation. The ocean is my only medication. Wishing my condition ain't ever gonna go away. Cause now I'm deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky breeze blowing wind through my hair. Only worry in the world is the tide gonna reach my chair. Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. Champagne shore washing over me. It's sweet, sweet life living by the salt of the sea. One day you will be as lost as me. Change your geography. Maybe you might be deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky breeze blowing wind through my hair. Only worry in the world is the tide gonna reach my chair. Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. Come on in the water now, box up a little slice. Grab a backpack and lots, you never know until you try. When you lose yourself, you find the key to paradise.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for joining me. This is Cynthia Fontaine and Transforming Your Life. We are here at, let's see, what day are we in the 30-day challenge? This is day 17. Oh, my goodness. Day 17 of the 30-day challenge, and the challenge is to bust out and bust into your life. And how have you been doing that? Have you been listening to the show and getting some really great tips and tools to help you be able to bust out of where you've been in your life and bust into the life you really want to lead? I hope you have. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the other shows, take a peek at them and see which one makes sense for you to listen to. So I could not sign into the show. It kept saying that my episode had ended, and I've been having these crazy computer things and challenges come up for the last week, and Mercury went out of retrograde 2 days ago, yet still I'm having all these problems and trouble and so forth. And I actually had pre-recorded a show. I started to pre-record a show because I had a schedule conflict for the 11 o'clock time slot today, where I have a regular appointment every 2 weeks at 11 o'clock and with a student. And so I had pre-recorded a show. Then would only, and I, so I started recording again, not realizing that I had the show recorded on two separate audios, and I was not able to upload both audios. So then I said, oh my goodness, so how can I still keep my commitment for this 30-day challenge now that I don't have the audio to upload for the entire show because it was in two pieces? And I said, well, I'm just going to have to move my day around and come on the air a little bit later. So this is cutting into my playtime right now because I have plans to go out and play this afternoon because I'm on the East Coast here, so it's midday for us. So wherever you're at, might be morning if you're on the West Coast. And so those are, it's just this cycle keeps continuing where I have had these things this last week or so where things come up, things happen, and I have to change things around. And it's really been a great gymnastic activity for me and a process of really being able to go with the flow. And my guides are the most amazing guides in the world. And they give me these messages and these lessons to really make me walk my talk. And when you're trying to bust out and bust into your life, you got to change things up and often go with the flow of things. In the past, I would have gotten all stressed out. And, you know, maybe I would have even canceled the show and said, I'll just, you know, go on tomorrow and my people will understand. Well, I now have a different resolve around that. And I said, you know, I've made this commitment and I'm going to follow through on it, whatever it takes. And I know there are already callers on the line and I will take callers. I just want to chat a little bit here before then. I usually don't take callers until midpoint, halfway through the show. But I will get to you guys, I promise. And I'm just remembering I didn't open the chat room. So I'm opening the chat room now. So if anybody wants to jump in the chat room, I am on in the chat room and we are going full out here live. Okay. So when I am off Blog Talk Radio, you can find me at cynthiafontaine.com, CynthiaFontaine.com. And my social media links are on there. So you can go on and get to my Facebook public page and like my page. Also Twitter and I think Pinterest is on there too. I forget what social media links are on there, but I know Facebook and Twitter on there. I have to go in and look at my website. And so like my page, say hi, let me know how you're doing, what's going on. And when I bring you on the air in a short while, I want you to think about while you're waiting what you're grateful for today. And so when I bring you on the air, you're going to tell me your name and what you're grateful for and also where you're calling from. So today's show is about choices, and it overlaps a little bit with yesterday's show, and that's about challenges and how we deal with the challenges in our life. Because we often think that making choices are just about making choices in the big things in our life, the challenges that come up in our lives. And very often, people will say when the big things come up or the challenges, they'll say, I'm having a real hard time making a choice. I don't know what that looks like. And they say, I have a really hard time making choices in my life. However, for most of us, we make hundreds of choices every single day, unconsciously, not even being aware of it. You make a choice of how you drive to work today, or you make a choice of how you're going to put your makeup on. If you're a gal, and even if you're a guy, some guys wear makeup. You make a choice of what you're going to have for breakfast, or if you're not going to have breakfast. You make the choice of stopping at the grocery store on the way home or in the middle of the day.
So you make choices all day long, every day. But because they're small choices, we kind of fluff them off as being, that's just how you do life. That's just what you do. It's everyday stuff, right? But it's in recognizing that you are capable and are totally able to make choices in your life that when the big things come up, you don't feel so held hostage, we'll say, and thinking that I can't make this choice. And oftentimes people will reflect on the past choices that they've made when things have gone wrong. So say, for example, you're in a relationship and your previous relationships have all, you've been cheated on all your previous relationships. And so the ego mind is always looking to create the familiar, and it's always looking for the worst case scenario. So maybe you make the choice in your relationship, in your daily interactions, to be accusatory of every little thing that you see, because you know this person's going to cheat on you because everybody else has. Now, don't get me wrong and ignore the real red flags that are there. What I'm saying is don't create something that isn't there, right? Don't create something that isn't there. And one of the choices that I've made, and I've noticed this has really come up in my life recently, where choices sometimes or conclusions come from assumptions that we make. And when we assume things, we can often make choices that probably maybe are not best for us. And I use my own life as examples for you guys because it's the best example I have. And I get lessons all the time to work with. And that's what gives me the content to bring these things out to you. So this past weekend, I had a great opportunity to work on choices that I made and how I approach things. And I thought that my boyfriend had bought a house that we had talked about a week and a half ago or so. And I'm really familiar with this house. I actually looked at this house to buy about 15 years ago, and a friend of mine bought the house. And so I know the house really well because I spent a lot of time in it as my friend lived there. And I didn't feel like that was the right house for us or the right house to invest in. And he wanted me to go look at the house, and I said, no, I'm not looking at the house. I don't need to look at the house. I know exactly what the house looks like, feels like. I know the house. And so I didn't go to look at the house. And he's not really computer techie, and he has me do, most of all his computer things, emailing and all that sort of stuff. So he had gotten a message, an email from an insurance company, his insurance company, with a quote on the insurance on the house. And it just so happened that the house went under contract the same time he got the insurance quote. And that being said, I made the assumption and jumped to the conclusion that he bought the house without telling me he bought the house. And so I got really worked up. And this was 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the morning. So I got really charged and I got really angry and my heart was racing and I couldn't go to sleep. And then something in my head said, well, what are you going to do about it right now? You're not going to go over there because he lives 2 minutes from me. You're not going to go over there. It's 1:30 in the morning. You're not going to call him. So there's nothing you can do about this right now. And what if it weren't true? And that voice in my head made me stop and say, the evidence appears that it's true. But what if it isn't? What if I'm making an assumption that's not accurate? And at that point, I was able to put a meditation on and then go to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I had a completely new perspective, not just on that particular situation, but on my life and how I have been making choices, particularly in the last 2 years after I lost my brother, where I kind of got a little bit negative. And most of my friends, you know, my friends would not see it. And the people who I work with maybe wouldn't see it. But in my really intimate personal relationships, I was always looking for the worst thing. And that's the ego mind. And so I would make choices. For example, one thing is like, I love to go out dancing. And I will often say to Dave, hey, how about if we go out dancing instead of going to the movies? He likes to go to the movies. I like to go to the movies sometimes, but not every weekend. So how about if we go out dancing? And he doesn't like to dance. He doesn't like crowds. He doesn't like to be seen with a lot of people. He's a team player. And team players like to be in the background. They don't like to be have people watching them and looking at them. And they really like to be in the background supporting other people. So if we went out, he would be perfectly happy serving people snacks and that kind of thing. Making people happy rather than being out on the dance floor where people could be watching him. So that request has been ignored. And there's a couple of events that we go to every year where I can get him out on the dance floor and we get a couple of dances and then that's it. You know, he's done his duty. I've got a little bit of dancing in. And these events, I have lots of other friends that go to. And so we all dance together. But one of his friends called him before Christmas and said, hey, my son is playing out. I'd really like it if you came and joined us. And it was at this little club that is literally a block and a half from his house. And he doesn't like to travel either. So if you, God forbid, you drive to the other side of the state and drive half an hour, 35 or 40 minutes to a club to go dancing, that's just too incomparable. So his friend calls him. And this is a friend who, now I've been with this guy for 3.5 years. And we have a long history together. But so this time around, we've been together 3.5 years. And this is a friend I've never heard him talk about, had no idea who he was. He calls him up and says, hey, let's go out. So, and I hate surprises as a charismatic leader because you surprise me and that's like death. So he comes out of the blue and says, hey, so-and-so called me. His son is playing over at the Beachcomber. Let's go over. Now, I get really pissed because I've been asking him to go out for a long time. And this friend out of nowhere, whom I've never heard him talk about in 3.5 years, calls him up and says, hey, come on out. And off he goes. So I was really pissed. And I stayed really pissed the whole night. So what became clear to me is I made a choice in that moment to be really pissed. And I continued to make that choice all night to be really pissed because here's this friend who, again, is obviously not a close friend, calls him up and, oh, all of a sudden we're out where I've been asking for a couple of years to do this, right? So I made the choice to stay really pissed all night long. And not only did I make the choice to stay really pissed about that all night long, I stayed really pissed about that for weeks. And that's just one example of the choices that I have made in this relationship and how it's affected the relationship and affected me personally, because when you hold in, you know, when you're angry, that affects your liver. You don't even have to be a drinker to have liver problems. If you're really angry, you can have liver problems. So what I realized when I woke up Sunday morning after all this stuff with the house was that I make choices every minute in my life, and you make choices every minute in your life. And the choices that we make with the small stuff really shape our life and gives us the power and the opportunity to be able to make good choices when the big things come up. So really take that in. The choices, the small choices that we make every day in our life give us the opportunity to be able to make the big choices when the challenges come up in our life. And to make them well. To make those choices well. Because if you're making choices all the time from the negative, guess what? You're going to get more opportunity to be negative, right? Because the law of attraction works like that. You attract in what you put out. So if you're being negative, the universe is going to happily give you more things to be negative about, more things to be angry about. When you shift your perspective, when you have a shift in the choice, how you perceive and how you're going to handle a situation, then the universe shifts along with you. So I am so thankful that when I woke up Sunday morning, I woke up a different person. And when I say I woke up a different person, I really mean I woke up a different person. I just had this different person inside of me. And I've been tough to live with the last couple of years, I understand that. I recognize that because I have this mission that I am on now, knowing that life can be, and, you know, I've known this always, being a medium and a psychic and, you know, talking to dead people. At any moment of our day could be our last moment. We don't know what that moment is. But even knowing that was not enough for me to sort of make this shift, because after I lost my brother, something happened inside of me that really kind of turned me a little bit to the dark side, where, you know, I have this knowing and understanding, of course, that at any moment could be our last, but my brother committed suicide, and that's a really hard thing to live with. And I became a little bit hard and a little bit jaded, in a sense. And also, I'm on a mission to live my life and get things done in my life, because I don't know when my last day is, right? I don't know when it is. And I myself have been close to suicide 3 times in my life. And the first time, I actually took a half a bottle of sleeping pills and slept for 2 hours and woke up and was kind of disappointed. But not yet really disappointed, because I knew I had so much to live for. I just didn't have examples of in my life to live for at that point. And maybe you are having a hard time in your life and you feel like that you've had a really hard life and you're not having good things to look forward to or to live for. Trust me when I say that things can shift in an instant. Things can really shift in an instant. And they will. And a big part of it is how you're making the choices in your life in every moment. What your attitude is, you know, because you make the choice. And it's okay if you're angry about something, but be angry about it and get over it. Just say, you know, I'm really angry that you did that. I'm really angry that you made this, that you chose to do this, and this is how it affected me. Whatever it is. So be angry and get over it. We tend to hold on to things forever. We have this little notebook, right? And this is true for a lot of women, where we have this little notebook and we take notes and say, oh, well, he did this on this date at this time, and it's all etched into our memory. And so now, here this is again, he's done this, and now, oh, even though these two are different, not related, I'm going to put the two of them together and be really pissed off because he never does what I want, or she never does what I want, whatever your case may be. So really get clear and look at the choices that you're making in the moment, the small choices, because every minute and every choice counts in how what's going on in your energy field. All right, so I am going to go to the phone lines in just one second here, because we've had some people on hold for a long time. And I'm just looking for my pendulum, because I like to use a pendulum. It keeps me in the spirit world and not so much in the physical body and what's going on in my own mind when I am taking callers. So this looks like it's a Skype call. So if you are calling in from Skype, I am taking your call now. So let me tell me what your name is, where you're calling from, and what you're grateful for today. Hi, this is Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, are
Hello?
You there? Hi.
I don't know if you're speaking with me.
I am, yes. Who's this, please?
I'm sorry. I just did not hear the unmuted. I am in, my name is Deanna. I'm in South Florida. And I just called in to listen to the show. I didn't know that you were going to take calls. But I do want to say to you, you've put forth a lot of good thoughts and a lot of good ideas, and I'm grateful for that.
Oh, thank you, Diana. That's very kind.
Yeah. You're very objective about yourself, and I haven't reached that point yet, not often enough. So I do like what you said and how you see yourself when you're doing less than what you ideally would like to do, and not berate yourself or accuse yourself. You just get over it and go on. So Cynthia, I want to say thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome, Diana. And you know, that's a really tricky thing for most people, particularly women, because we tend to be so self-critical of ourselves. And, you know, it's taken me a lot of years of practice and diving into the holistic world and self-help and so forth. And I don't know if you've listened before. I think you said that.
Never.
But yeah,
never. This is the first time.
Okay, so my story, if you listen to yesterday's show, if you go back into the archives, my story is one that's pretty horrific. That most people, if they had one of the challenges in their life that I've had in mine, they would crumble up and just, you know, be in a psych ward or something. But this, I've been able to, and this is my mission and part why I've come, is to really be able to help people. And I sort of have taken on these challenges to be able to experience firsthand these things, so then I can take them and take this work and share it with others. And even if I help one person, then I feel like my life has value and I've done what I've come to do here. And, you know, at this point, I can honestly say that I've really helped thousands and thousands of people around the world. And that for me is a huge blessing. So all that I've been through and all that I've learned has been worth it for that. And one of the keys that I really teach people is start to notice that negative voice in your mind, that critical, and I give it like a character shape. And so I'll say, okay, what do you look like? This voice in my head that is so critical. What do you look like and what is your name? And so then I can have a conversation with this critical voice. And I can say to this critical voice, hey, Harold, you know, I don't like the way direction you're going here. How about if I do something different? And every time the critical thought comes into your mind, and it could be when you walk by the mirror and you go, oh, look at those wrinkles, or, you know, or, oh, I'm not the size that I want to be. Just smile and say, that's okay. This is the body and the vehicle that I've needed to get me where I'm at. And it's not permanent. It can change if I don't like the way I look, right? Or go ahead.
You know, your words bring a couple ideas to my head. One of them is elasticity versus rigidity. You are being elastic. The other one is you have validated your presence in the world. You have made it valuable after helping someone, so you're still needed here. There's no need for you to say goodbye to the world. The last one I was wondering about, and I don't know whether you have an answer for me, is I know adrenaline is kicking in all the time when we're afraid. I wonder what the hormone name is for anger, the one that really changes the chemistry of our liver. Or, you know, rather than anger, it's resentment. I wonder what hormone it is that we produce when we are feeling resentful or angry. Do you know?
That's a really good question. I don't know specifically which hormone we produce when we are feeling those emotions, but I do know that it's the same hormone as if we're being chased by a tiger.
So it is adrenaline.
Adrenaline, right. Norepinephrine, I think, is it.
Would you repeat it? Because I didn't hear you.
I think norepinephrine is one of them.
Oh, yeah, norepinephrine, yeah. I was just wondering, because I do tend to keep my mouth shut when I am upset about something because I don't know how to deal with the situation. For instance, bullying. Whenever I'm being bullied, I just don't know how to react to it, and I get either over defensive or just shut out, you know, shut myself off. And then it's hard to come back from that.
Right, absolutely. And you know, that is a normal fight or flight reaction, for sure. And so what happens is the body shuts down because we have this instinctive thing built into our brain where if it's not safe, and bullying is, you know, an issue for feeling not safe, where we will retract and we will go into, hiding, where we freeze, or we go into the fight mode, right? So physiologically, what happens in the body is that sends the neurotransmitters into the brain, sets off the hormones of adrenaline and non-adrenaline hormones, and really gets your body amped up. And so what happens if you go into the frozen state, you're still having that hormonal response in the body. And also cortisol also gets released into the body. But yet, it doesn't get discharged. When you have the, if you fight back, those hormones actually get discharged, and then it comes back down to normal levels. What happens if those hormones don't get discharged is, for a lot of women, especially if it's trauma-related, they will end up with fibromyalgia. If if it's not trauma related, you can end up things with IBS or chronic fatigue, and it'll go into your nerves. And
it goes into your muscles. One of the books that I read about 10 years ago is a great book. It's all about this. It's called When the Body Says No. Yeah. And it's by Dr. Mate, and he goes, you know, very profoundly into the subject. But there are times when I'd rather not discharge the hormones for fear of being discharged, if you
right.
know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand
that. That's when I don't know how to process it.
Right. Okay. So now let me ask you, when you feel like you're being bullied, is this people that are close to you or people that maybe you don't even know, really?
No, I would say people that I either work with or are part of my family or friend circle.
Right. Okay.
And I feel disrespected. There are so many times when I don't know how to react, I just don't react. I just, you know, close myself off, retreat. But like you said, you have to discharge those hormones because they're chemical. They're working in the stream, in your bloodstream, in your, you know, in all of your streams, you know.
Right.
And they just poison us.
Right, exactly. So you can do things like if you're getting angry, then you can do anger workouts where you take a wiffle ball bat and you beat the couch with it. Or one thing that I like to do, and it's really quick and easy to do, is I do a body shake. So I'll be, you know, even if you have to go in the bathroom or something, if you're with other people, and you just start shaking your body all over and you get all that out, right? And you shake your head and you stamp your feet a little bit, and that will help discharge all that rush of hormones that come up and the cortisol. So you have to move your body. And so if you can, in the moment, even just go into the bathroom when this situation has occurred and do, you know, a 30-second body shake, nobody will know that you've done it and you've been able to release some of that. And then you can come back in and maybe even say to the person, well, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. Or you might even be able to say to the person, you know, what you just said really hurt me. And just leave it at that. What I've learned is that sometimes it's better to just take a step back, also from the person, physically take a step back. And then you can imagine a shield come down between the two of you, or you can imagine a mirror and have the mirror side facing them. So it might give them the opportunity to start seeing reflected back to them what they're putting out.
Yeah, I guess that's true. When you're dancing, it doesn't get deposited into your muscles.
Correct.
That shape would work. So maybe you should tell your boyfriend it's good for me to get rid of all the anger that I have in my muscles. So you better take me dancing. Otherwise, it's just going to fester there.
I like that idea. And, you know, that might work. that really might work.
I thank you very much for being on today. I noticed you this morning, and like I said, I've never called, but I thought, okay, let me give this a try. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that you joined in on the show and that you did call in. It's really been a pleasure and an honor speaking with you today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a blessed weekend.
And you.
Thank you so much. You know, this is what I really love about, okay, I'm trying to put you back on hold.
I muted myself, so if you can't, that's okay. I'm just going to mute myself.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That's really great. Because I don't want to hang up on you because I know you're listening from Skype. Thank you, Diana. You know, this is why I love doing the show and I love being here because I have the most amazing, wonderful people who call in, and they really add to the show and to all of you. Their contribution is important. And so there's something that they say, each individual, as they call in, that will really resonate and be personal for you. So really pay attention to that, because when people call in and I bring people on the air, it's because they have something to say that is important for you to hear. I love that. I really do. And like I said, you guys keep me going and keep me inspired in doing this and coming back every day to put this out there, because I know if it helps one person, that is what I'm here for, and that gives me such meaning in my life. So thank you. And thank you, Diana, for calling in. Those were really, really great questions. And it's a great topic, you know, talking about the choices and the challenges in our life, because when we go into fight or flight, when our hormones kick in and it produces the cortisol, and while I was chatting with Diana, I went and looked up what hormones, to be able to answer a question, what hormones are produced when you go into the fight and flight, or when you go into anger. And it is adrenaline and cortisol that those hormones kick in. And they go. What happens is those hormones go into your muscles, because the part of the whole purpose of getting your gall up, so to say, is the blood rushes into your limbs and your extremities. So you now have the energy that you need to be able to run from that tiger, okay? To be able to get out of the situation. And when you don't, when that's not the case, because we're not being chased by wild animals anymore, but yet we still have this strong hormonal thing that happens in our bodies. And what happens if you don't discharge or get rid of those hormones? They start to live in your body and they become lodged in your body. And you get things like fibromyalgia, especially if you have had trauma in your past. So I'm just checking the chat room, saying hi to people in the chat room. Thanks for being here, you guys. I love to see people in the chat room. And so think about that. And what happens when we have those flood of stress hormones in our bloodstream and in our muscles and in our bodies all the time, it will make you gain weight and retain weight, because it's a form of protection. And so it's the little things in our life that set us off. It's not the tiger chasing us through the jungle anymore, because we don't live that way, but it's the the person who throws the poison darts at you, who says something that's harmful, or you take it personally. Your spouse or your partner does something like, you know, when I thought they bought this house that I didn't want this house. And so that sent a flood of all these stress hormones and this cortisol and everything into my body. And guess what? My clothes fit tighter this week. And I'm not kidding. I'm totally serious. So when I get stressed out, I can go to bed weighing one weight and I can literally wake up 10 pounds heavier in the morning. And then a couple of days later, when I've resolved whatever the issue has gone on in my mind or whatever, or we've sat down and I've talked about it with whoever this is. And if you can talk, communication is the key in relationships, every relationship. And the big issue is in most relationships is when we communicate through our defense. And we all have a defense that we have learned to how we deal with life. And we learned this growing up as children. And often for women, a lot of women have taken on the people pleaser defense. And so you do things because you're expected to, or you have to do things to get along in your family, right? So for me, I was the oldest girl. I have one brother who's older. But, you know, I grew up in a time where still women were the ones who took care of the homes. The men weren't quite yet there ready. They weren't quite expected yet so much to participate. And so I was brought up where, you know, you take care of the family, you take care of the home. And my mother literally locked herself in her room when I was 12 years old and didn't come out for, it seems like, years. She did the grocery shopping and she did what she had to do, but she was not available, you know, mentally or any on an emotional level whatsoever. And I basically had to take care of my siblings. And in to get love in my family, you had to do what other people wanted you to do and couldn't have an opinion about that. And so you just had to do it. So I became a really good people pleaser, not ever asking myself or giving myself permission to be able to say, hey, you know what? I really don't want to do this. And so I've been blessed to have really great teachers in my life and been in some really great programs where I can now look at something and say, you know, and say to someone, gee, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. Or just say no when somebody asks you. And this is one thing that I teach is when women particularly first come to me, is one of their early assignments very often is learning to say no. And I have them practice saying no, to try to say no at least once a day. And it doesn't have to be anything big. It can even be when the telemarketer calls. And you can just say no, thank you, and hang up the phone. And you don't have to make it any, you don't have to give any explanation. Because oftentimes as women, we feel like we have to explain away why we're saying no. And that takes the power and the energy out of the simple no. So can you say no in your life? And there are times when you're going to want to say no in your life, but you're going to choose to say yes because you know how happy your son will be when you make him his favorite meal, even though you don't want to do it right then. And that's a choice. So make it a conscious choice. And that's what we're talking about today, is making choices in your life. And when you can make choices from a conscious point in your life, it will shift your entire being and shift your entire life. All right, I'm going to go to the phone line because I know this caller actually was on the line earlier. And this is area code 727, and the last four digits are 7278. So caller, I'm bringing you on the line. Tell me your name, where you're calling from, and what you're grateful for today. Hi, you're on the air with Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium, and transforming your life. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Cynthia. This is Kate, and I'm calling from Florida.
I'm sorry, what did you say your name was?
Kate.
Kate. Hi, Kate. How are you today?
Doing very well. How about you, Cynthia?
I am awesome. Thank you for asking.
Okay. A couple of things that come to mind. I am grateful for folks like you who share information.
Oh, thank you. That's my mission here.
A couple of quick things that came to my mind while listening, Cynthia. One of the helpful pieces that came to me in the last year or two is no is a complete sentence.
Absolutely. Yes.
And secondly, there is a woman who is currently on the circuits promoting a book. Her name is Amy Cuddy.
Oh, I'm and, not familiar.
C-U-D-D-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy, I think she was at Princeton. I'm almost sure that's where she was. And mm-hmm. she was really struggling with feeling like a fake and having anxiety with doing presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And a mentor of her essentially said, fake it till you make it. And consequently, Amy did some neuro-linguistic studies about posture.
Yeah.
And put those into a hard copy book, and then you can see her on TED Talk also on the web. And essentially what she found is exactly in keeping with what you're talking about today, Cynthia, is that when we display withdrawn behaviors, cover ourselves up, attempt to make ourselves small, our hormone levels change, and she found that the cortisol levels increase by as much as 25%. And when we make victorious, expansive type postures, the cortisol levels reduce, and the serotonin and the dopamine levels increase.
Wow, that's really profound. Just by posture. And, you know, makes a lot of sense. It really does make a lot of sense. Yeah.
It does. It stands to reason. So she, you know, she did some research, and we could take all sorts of tangents in terms of quantum physics and seeing what you believe and all those things. It does make sense.
Wow, yeah, that really does make sense. I really appreciate you calling in today, because I love the connections, you know, and I've done some NLP work, and Yvonne Oswald out of Canada is a great author who, you know, is an NLP practitioner and talks about how our thoughts become our words and how that affects your body and so forth. But I did not know, I was not aware of the posture element, and that's really brilliant. I'm going to definitely check her work out.
And Cynthia, are you doing any readings today?
We only have about 5 minutes left, but I'm happy to take a question.
Well, I have had to make important decisions in my life for large groups of people, virtually thousands. And juxtaposed to that, sometimes I struggle with the topic that, you know, we're discussing today with decisions. So what is that juxtaposition in my life?
Well, for you, it's really important for you that you make clear and right decisions that help people and benefit people. And sometimes those decisions and those choices that you make in guiding these, because I see herds, gods of people, gobs of them around you. Sometimes, you know, the way that people take them personally, there's always this question of, is it the right thing? And especially when you're working dealing with a lot of people,
since our time is short, I have no difficulty when it comes to decision-making for others. It's when it comes to personal decision-making that I have the, insecurity, for lack of I will think and overthink, whereas if it's for anybody else, I am instant. I am on it. I know it. I trust it. I'm even snapping my fingers, like neurolinguistically, reinforcing that. And that was spontaneous. No, if you ask me something, Cynthia, I would tell you immediately and have full confidence.
Right. Okay. So what my guides are saying is that you're a channel, and that you're also a team player. So it's so much easier for you to do things that benefit the team than to benefit yourself. And the fact that you called in today, I really want to commend you, because that can be difficult for people who are easily able to speak for other people, but not so much be able to stand up and make decisions and speak for themselves. And but you have a big team player component in your makeup. And so that makes it easy for you to make the decisions for other people. Even if the decision feels like that, somebody might feel like it's not the right decision for you, you still have the confidence and the ability to go, even though, and that's what I was getting to, even though they may not feel it's right, you know that this is the right direction. So what happens when it comes to yourself is they're showing me, it's funny, they're actually giving me a location in the brain. So it's to the you know where the soft spot is in your head when you're a baby, right on top?
Yes.
So if you can actually find, if you poke around in your head, you can actually find the indentation where that was. So
yes.
If you take your forefinger, if you take your finger and put it in the indentation, and then take your thumb and diagonally go back towards your right ear, they're saying that's where that little voice in your head actually lives.
Okay.
So I'm going to keep you on the air after I end the show for a few minutes, if you don't mind, because I don't want to lose you and leave it there. So find the spot and then hold it there. I'm gonna close the show and then I'll bring you back on. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, we are out of time again, and about 12 days into this challenge, I thought, oh my goodness, how am I gonna create a show every day for 30 days and have something to talk about? So I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you to the callers and the people in the chat room. I love you all so very much. Check out my website, CynthiaFontaine.com, and I will be back with you guys again tomorrow. I love you all. Music short.
Well, thank you so much, Cynthia.
Oh, you're welcome so much. So, I didn't want to leave you in the middle of this because this is really important. So it's this space in your head. So if you can visualize that, and it's about, I'd say, an inch to an inch and a half from the soft spot in your head, and that's like where that little voice comes in, and that's the ego, that's the chatterbox. And I like to give that a name and a face, and it might even be a little critter. You know, like I have a picture of this cute, adorable little critter that it looks kind of like a gremlin. And you can, like, start to recognize that almost, it might sound a little bit weird, but it's almost like if you have a devil and an angel on your shoulder, and you have one whispering bad things in your ear and one whispering good things in your ear, okay? So the part of your brain that is keeps you stuck, and so you can't move ahead with decisions in your life, is that part that is always looking for the worst-case scenario, and it's always trying to keep you stuck in the same because that's what it's familiar with. And stepping out of that point can be a little bit tricky, because the more you step forward and start to make decisions in a new way, the louder that voice might get in your head, or the more resistance you'll feel. And so you can start sort of negotiating in a way with that part of you, who you might have this part of you going, well, you know, you've made choices like this in the past and it hasn't turned out well. What makes you think that it's going to be any different? Because the ego mind is always looking for a frame of reference from the past. And that is what creates our future. And it's always looking for the worst case scenario. Okay. So give me an example, if you can, of a choice that you're trying to make, or something that you recently were trying to make a choice about.
Relocating.
I'm sorry, what is it?
Relocating.
Okay, there's a little tiny bit of static on the line. So yep. Relocating. Yep. And are there two places, areas that you're looking at to relocate to?
No.
Okay, because they're showing me two, and it could be that they're just showing me the place that you're in now and the place that's coming. See, because this is kind of like a puzzle. I have to figure out what exactly my guides are showing me with this. So they're showing me two locations. So then it would be the location current and location that you're thinking about going to. And it feels like that they're not, you know, they're not, it's not from one end of the country to the other. It feels like that they're closer than that. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. And so I feel like my guides are saying that you sort of have trying to take a sensible approach and look at the pros and cons of both and of relocating. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So you do things very logically, and that you've looked like, I almost feel like that I've taken a sheet of paper and that I've written down, you know, the pros and the cons of this relocation, and yet I still can't make a decision. Because what happens is the thinking mind will always get us into trouble and will always feel like we're not quite sure if we're making the right decision or we've made the right decision. So it's really a good idea to come into the feeling when you're making a decision like this, because when you don't do something out of the feeling, it will always be right. So how would it feel? And so when you do this, it's important to get into your heart chakra. And how you do that is take a nice deep breath in. Imagine the breath going in through your nose, filling your sinus cavity, coming down into your lungs and your lungs expanding. And as you're putting attention on your lungs and your lungs expanding, that brings your mind down into the heart. And just focus there in a moment. So take a couple of nice breaths in like that. And really bring your energy down into the heart. And can you feel how you feel more grounded, and you feel a little bit, you feel the shift there?
Yes.
Okay, so now in that space, ask yourself, and this is your higher mind, what does it feel like in this new location? How does it feel to make this move? And if your critical mind or your chatterbox mind, the mind that has trouble making decisions, comes in, then just go back to the breath. Breathing in, coming down into your heart. And again, ask, what does it feel like? What does it feel like a year from now in this new place? And breathing in. And what does it feel like 5 years from now in this place? and breathing in. And now shift to the location where you currently live in. And breathe in and notice the breath coming in through your nose, filling your sinuses, expanding your lungs, coming into the heart. And what does it feel like if you stay in this place for another year? And really breathe that in. Feel your body. Does it tense up? Does it relax? Does it feel prickly? What does it feel like staying in this space? What does it look like a year from now? And then take that further. What does it feel like 5 years from now staying in this space? And what does it look like? And then when you have that clearly, come back. And then let me know what that was like.
That is helpful. The things that came up pretty immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why we're getting an echo, Cynthia. That's always interesting.
My headphones, the battery went out, so I'm on. I'm just on the computer microphone now.
I think there are no accidents, though. It's interesting that whole analogy or metaphor of things echoing in your head.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the things that came up for me, it's been used before, the monkey mind.
Yeah.
Where you get the chatter. Yeah. So
yeah.
I envisioned a monkey.
Perfect.
And then seeing hack attack. So it's almost as if our subconscious gets hacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the ego saying all the things you were saying. You know,
absolutely.
You really believe that, or you're spinning your wheels, or, you know, whatever the monkey mind chatter is coming up with.
Right.
In order to keep that familiarity in place. And
right.
To secure the attempt to resist.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great analogy. I love that you've been hacked, attack. That's beautiful. Perfect.
Uh-huh.
I'll probably
uh-huh.
use that in future shows.
Yeah, a hack attack.
Yeah, that's really great.
And
I'm sorry.
Thinking
so
in terms of the thinking mind and the feeling
mm-hmm.
being aligned.
Yeah.
And then asking, what does my body say? Very similar to muscle testing.
Yeah, sure.
Which is in keeping with, again, what we're talking about in terms of hormones and posture and
mm-hmm. yes,
and
absolutely.
I know all this relates to, it may even be ancestral. It
mm-hmm.
certainly relates to my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably of the same generation
mm-hmm.
where we were just told this is the way it is. You don't have any choice. You're going
right.
to do it because you were told to do it.
Right.
So whilst I trust myself, this is really interesting. I trust myself entirely because I know I wouldn't, I've never come up with this before, Cynthia, in terms of articulating this.
Mm-hmm.
I know I wouldn't make a choice that would hurt someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I just, in my integrity, I would never do that. And
mm-hmm.
I trust that I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, I have made choices that hurt me.
Right.
Or I thought hurt me. That was my perception.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if we look at everything as a learning lab.
Yeah.
And that if we can take away, well, wait a minute, what did I gain from this decision?
Right.
Gosh, that is a really, that's a profound thing for me. That because I've made choices that I perceive hurt me,
mm-hmm.
I've now taken on the perception that my choices aren't safe for me.
Right, right. And so who made it not safe for you in the world?
I did.
Mm-hmm. But there was somebody before that, or someone told
you.
Well,
again, based on just parents, teachers, authorities.
Right.
That I best rely on them because I wasn't reliable.
Correct.
And
there's always a name, a face, and an age where that message was clearly delivered.
Oh, that was clearly when I was, my parents have said, you were such a good girl until you began questioning us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when was that?
5, 6 when I started to school.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
And it's interesting because I just had the image, and what came up for me almost immediately and what I almost said was when I found my legs, when my legs were, when I was standing on my own,
mm-hmm.
Oh, very interesting again in terms of metaphor. When I began to stand up,
mm-hmm.
and I had my voice, I was immediately told, sit down, be quiet, and speak when spoken to.
Yeah. And so it sounds like, there's a book I would like you to consider taking a look at. And that is called Discover Your Purpose, How to Use the 5 Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential and Live the Life You Were Meant to Live. That's the long title, but the short title is Discover mm-hmm. Your Purpose. And it's by Rhys Thomas. And what you're describing fits the charismatic leader profile perfectly because at about the age 1.5, 2 to 3, when you start to walk, talk, or verbalize, or some kids earlier than that, that's when the charismatic leader first gets shut down by their parents because, you know, you're too loud, we're told to be seen and not be heard, et cetera.
That's exactly my, yeah. And I'm still, it's interesting because there's another huge juxtaposition in that's still this stance. Very
mm-hmm.
interesting. I would choose that because, again, that's posture. This stance that I have with and in my birth family,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which is in direct contrast to how I interact with the rest of the world.
Right. And I'm you know, when you look at when you first sit up as a baby, that's when your chakras start to stack up. Are you familiar with chakras? I feel like you are.
Oh, very. Yeah.
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 Okay. So that's when your chakras first start to stack up and come into alignment. And then when you get your legs under you, you know, they're really all lined up and stacked up. So what happens, and I'm curious to think about, and I'm going to get that book because I'm curious, because a charismatic leader often takes the hit in the 5th chakra, and that's speaking, and oftentimes as well, they don't come into their power, and so their 3rd chakra will, either be excessive, or it'll be very withdrawn where they might have sort of like this concave abdomen area. Like with my daughter has the concave abdomen. And she's a charismatic leader, knowledgeable achiever, but she does not own the charismatic leader because, you know, it's, I don't know, what, for whatever reason. But she's starting to sort of come to terms with that a little bit. And I noticed that her posture is much better when she is in her power and in her center. So I love that you brought that book up. I'm really going to check that out. So in your posture.
And again, she is C-U-D-D-Y.
Yes, I've written it down.
Okay.
Yeah, and as soon as I get off with you, I'm going to look her up. So I'm curious.
My challenge. Oh, go ahead. Ask me that first. You're curious?
I'm curious in your posture, in your throat area and in your solar plexus. Is it full or is it concave? I'm just curious.
It's concave.
Okay.
And my, that was what I was going to follow up with. My challenge, I would think that probably primary challenge in this life cycle has been, I'm glad I put that in past tense, being comfortable and effective with my power. And again, I've had this juxtaposition where publicly, I've had some, in the context of our social structure, some fairly high-profile and influential situations. And personally, I've maintained this, be invisible, hide, don't draw attention to yourself. And with my birth family, I have allowed myself to maintain that that lack of standing. I started to say standing, but it's a lack of standing.
Right, which is, you know, you are in good company with that because it's our birth family that is the most difficult to be able to take this work and to shift, because we would be betraying them by now shifting how we are in the family. And so subconsciously, we wouldn't betray them. And because you have such moral high standards, that would be even more difficult for you. What really happens is when you can come into your core, the family now has an opportunity to shift into their core, and it can be a more healthy relationship. It takes as much energy, however, to make that shift, to be able to now go against the tribe, as it did to create the initial vow that you made to not be seen and heard. But you're right there, you know. You're in a place, my guides are saying, where you're right there. You've done, they're saying you've got lots of mileage under you and behind you.
I sure do.
Yeah, and in learning about how to improve yourself and learning about all these things. Because what they're saying is you never had an opportunity in your life growing up to really feel your feelings. And so for you, it's
exactly. I was, in fact, told, denied, stop crying, don't do that. You're imposing on everybody here.
Yeah.
And they'd say, suck it up, clean it up, and I don't know how many times I've heard, dry it up.
Right. And so now it's a choice for you to start, and you can do this maybe getting into, because I feel like you go to workshops, is that right?
I have been to 1,000.
Yeah, but I feel like...
I don't do so many now.
But I feel like even at the workshops, you haven't felt safe enough to let it all out.
I tell you, I've done some, I mean, work back, you know, 30 years, Cynthia,
right.
where, you know, I've done the primal thing and the S yep. sort of thing, and I have cried it out, done it out. So in terms of the guide saying, my God, she's done all the work.
Right. Right. And still there's that piece. And sometimes I often with clients will go back and we'll retrieve that little one that was left behind at that age when, you know, they were first wounded. And we'll bring that child back. We'll bring them to a sanctuary and a safe place because you've always been there for you, right?
Yes.
And you've
yes.
always, even if you feel like that you've made some choices or decisions that maybe weren't the best, you in your life, you're the only one who has always been there for you no matter what, because you can't leave yourself, right? But yet we leave pieces of ourselves behind every time we're injured as a child. And then we leave pieces behind in relationships as we get rewounded. And so you go back and you gather up the pieces of yourself that you've left behind and that you've lost. And it can gives you the opportunity to become a whole once again. And so and it's really kind of an easy process to do. But I am running out of time because I think I get cut off at 2 hours. And let's see, I'm not sure how long I've been up and running here for. Oh, because my timer went out. Okay. So I don't want to lose you and get cut off. But we still have a little bit of time, I think. And so that can be really helpful to do. And even more so, I find I've done soul retrievals and all that sort of stuff. And I do that sometimes with clients as well. But I find going back and collecting up your little self, younger self, and bringing him to sanctuary can be really, really helpful in the healing process. And it can shift you in your family. I mean, I come from the most critical family that I think there is on the planet. And I've learned, you know, I'm able now not to take things personally. And that even that they come across in a harsh way, that it is the only way they know. And we've lost the call. Katie, we've lost you. And I don't know that you can call back in. So just finishing that thought, I want to just thank you so much for calling in and for sharing your experience with us. And to really encourage you, if you come back and listen to the replay, to really feel your way through life and in making the choices. Because the thinking mind will never be totally happy and will always question when we make choices, big choices, from the place of thinking. So it's going into feeling and feeling it out where you can really make a good choice, because that choice is always going to be right. Because if it feels good, it's the right decision. So I encourage you, Katie, and all of you who listen, to start knowing that your feelings are valid. And if you were told as a child that not to cry, don't feel that way, you know, that was your parents' thing. And what it did, however, was put you into a thinking mode, and then you thought your way through life. And thinking your way through life can always lead to trouble. I mean, you have to think, of course, but feeling your way through life and feeling how something feels is really the key. And it takes practice to learn how to then feel when you've been trained for so many years not to feel your feelings. So I encourage you all to really start to feel and use the method that I shared here with you today with the breathing and going into the heart and really start to feel your feelings. Feel what your body feels like when you're breathing in. Do you have pain anywhere in your body? Where are you holding your stress? So go into your body and start to feel into your body. That's a really great place to start. And on that note, I am going to end now. And I want to thank you all who tuned in for listening. Thanks for hanging in the chat room. And thanks for being on the line for so long and listening. I love you all so very much. I wish you a blessed and fabulous, fabulous, fabulous day. I love you. Take care, and I'll see you tomorrow.